This is an OSV Podcasts production. To learn more about OSV Podcast Network, visit osvpodcasts.com.
Peace and blessings, everyone. How's everyone feeling? Yo, has it ever happened to you that, like, you go into the Eucharistic Adoration Chapel and it looks like everyone else knows what they're doing except for you? We got to talk about this because it feels like there's like some sort of secret message that everyone else got that I didn't get. To be honest, like, I don't always know what to do in adoration. Coming at you right here on the Revive Podcast. Peace and blessings, my brothers and sisters. Little love straight from the Boogie Down Bronx. I am your host, Father Agustino Torres, and this is the Revive Podcast. We're talking about how we can build up and deepen a relationship with the Eucharist. And here with me today, we have straight from Milwaukee, Father Joe Laramere, SJ, rocking it like it's hard. He is an author. He just came out with a new book, wink, wink, hint, hint, about the Sacred Heart. Oh, I love it. I love it, the Sacred Heart. But he was also a missionary back in the day in Belize, going up into the mountains of Mayan villages. He's got a whole story, but what I love about him is he is proud and happy to be a priest, and he loves being an uncle. I love it. Father Joe, how you doing?
Doing great. Father, good to have Jesuits and Franciscans playing nice together.
This is great. This is great. No, we're good, Father. We got this. God is
when the Franciscans and Jesuits unite.
Sounds like a Lord of the Rings sequel.
I love it. I love it. Even better than the Rings of Power. No comments there. Father, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, like, where you're from.
Amen. So happy to be here. I am a Eucharistic preacher along with Father Agustino. We got to hang out in beautiful Chicago couple months ago. Very excited to be spreading the good word about the Lord Jesus, his heart, and his body and blood in the Eucharist. I'm from beautiful St. Louis, Missouri, truly the heart of the heartland. Taught at a couple Jesuit all-boys high schools in Colorado and Kansas City. Spent some time in Belize. Really loved working with some holy, faithful, hardworking Mayan folks down there. Been a campus minister at St. Louis University, and my job now is director nationally of the Pope's Prayer Network, which is the Apostleship of Prayer. This is an almost 200-year-old Jesuit ministry promoting devotion to the Sacred Heart, as well as the Holy Father's monthly prayer intentions. You might know we have a Jesuit Pope right now, so exciting times for us, and excited to spread the love.
Name. He has a Franciscan name.
He is a marketing genius, right? He's from the world's largest order and then picks the world's favorite saint as his name. So gotta love Papa Francis.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Father, just real quick. Some people might have heard of the Sacred Heart, but maybe not know so much about it. I mean, we had this conversation of how I really do believe that devotion to the Sacred Heart needs to kind of come back and quickly. Can you give us just like a quick, like, you know, what is the Sacred Heart?
Absolutely. And I'll say, don't call it a comeback, because both of our offices right now, me and Father Agustino, we both have an image of the Sacred Heart visible in our little Zoom screens here. A number of priest buddies and friends in religious orders, for their vow holy card, like when they take their vows, a huge number use the Sacred Heart as like their key image there. I think that's powerful. I think that speaks to, you know, our desire for communion with Jesus, friendship with him, that he wants that even more than we do. Briefly, this goes back to the visions of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in France in the 1600s. She had these powerful visions of the heart of Jesus. I have a heart. He has a heart. My heart is wounded by my own sin, bad habits, sufferings I've been through. The heart of Jesus is wounded, not by his own sin, but the sins of the whole world. And this is a glorified heart. This is the risen Jesus. So he still has those wounds, and yet now those wounds are glorified. An old phrase that I think ties into our conversation about adoration. Here it is in Latin, cor ad cor loquitur. Got that? Cor ad cor loquitur. That means heart to heart, speaking together. This is what Jesus wants, right? I share what's in my heart with him. He wants to share the grace, the mercy, the love from his heart with me. So really something I've grown in as a priest, and I love talking about this in retreats.
Don't call it a comeback. It's been here for years. yeah, myself as well. Like my priestly ordination card is at the Sacred Heart. Yeah, lots there. We can, well, maybe we'll get into that a little bit later, but Father, what's your revive to keep it alive? What's like your something? Obviously, we celebrate Mass as priests. We're very mm-hmm. close to the Eucharist. What, if you will, if I may use the word, what's like your hack to keep it fresh?
Amen. I've been making a holy hour for a long time, as a Jesuit novice, as a Jesuit seminarian through my priesthood. You know, and full disclosure, yeah, do I miss some days? Yeah. Or is it kind of a mini hour some days, like a holy 20 minutes? Hey, that's still something, right? You know, I think about, way back in the day, these audio tapes I listened to of Fulton Sheen when I was in college. Okay, so a buddy, like, no kidding, handed me a shoebox of these cassette tapes. It's like, hey, man, you got to listen to this. I was like, who's Fulton Sheen? He's like, I'll tell you later. Well, Fulton Sheen talked about making a holy hour is really the key to his priesthood. And one thing that stands out to me is he said, this is a conversation, you know, we have to listen and speak to Jesus in our holy hours. And we can do that in different ways, right? We can listen to Jesus speak in scripture. I can speak from my heart. I can make petitions. Lord, gosh, I need you to bless this family member who's suffering, or, Lord, gosh, bring peace to our city, bring peace to our world. You know, I think Fulton Sheen helped me to see this sense of like, yeah, this is a friendly conversation. And when I see a friend, I may have a couple topics in mind, like, gosh, yeah, I want to hear about what he's doing, how his mom's doing. Jesus, let's talk about your mom, okay? We love her. Let's honor her. Let's thank her. And there could be some things I want to celebrate. Lord, thank you for this, you know, this great moment, time with my friends. So to go in with a couple sort of topics in mind, if you will, but also to have some flexibility, right? As in a friendship, you probably would not say, okay, it's been 5 minutes talking about petitions. Now we're going to spend 5 minutes talking about gratitude, you know, but this friendly heart to heart, right? So to have, yeah, some scripture ready. Okay. The Sunday gospel, when in doubt, go to that. Okay, we're all going to go to Mass on Sunday. As a priest, I'm probably preaching on Sunday. So in a sense, to like not pack it with like a big to-do list, as if I got to plow through, okay, boom, got to get a rosary done. Boom, got to get Divine Mercy Chaplet done. Like, okay, Jesus knows me, loves me, treasures this time with me. All those are good and holy prayers, but you know, in a sense, to kind of let him set the agenda, maybe I have a few things in mind when I go into the holy hour, but also to really let him guide that time.
Yeah, Father, thank you for saying that. So I have a Mexican background. And so like the communal prayers that I learned with the Blessed Sacrament is like you pray the rosary in the Blessed Sacrament. And, you know, hey, it's great stuff. There's a huge indulgence attached to it. But I remember like this meditative approach to Eucharistic adoration being somewhat, in fact, like totally new. Like, what would you tell somebody like, you know, a little Tino growing up in South Texas, who's just coming at like wants to learn more about prayer and like, mm-hmm. you know, and, but like wants to get into the meditation stuff, but his mm-hmm. is only known the recitation of certain prayers to do.
Mm-hmm. Amen. A little nugget from St. Ignatius Loyola that can help us. So founder of the Jesuits, has some beautiful spiritual writings. So he talks about contemplation with the Gospels, where I imagine myself as if I was in the scene. Okay, so imagine Jesus calling disciples to himself. Well, imagine I'm one of those disciples. Or perhaps it's a healing passage, Jesus reaching out to heal someone who's hurting, who's in need. Well, to look at myself, okay, Lord, how am I in need of your healing? Gosh, to imagine what would it be like for Jesus to reach out and touch me, especially in that place I'm hurting. Maybe that's a physical wound, you know, knee injury or something. Or maybe it's kind of a heart wound, right? A broken relationship. Even my own sin, you know, the hurt that can cause internally. So, you know, yes, to read the gospel. Yes, to think about it, see what Jesus is doing. But to kind of take another step and say, all right, this is Catholicism. This is a full contact sport. Like, I'm not just watching from the skybox bleachers way far away, but I'm on the playing field with Jesus. And then again, to let the Holy Spirit move me, maybe that conversation opens up a bit more. I speak about my need for healing to the Lord. Maybe he has some special words for me, kind of building on what he does in the Gospels, but personalizing it, maybe deepening that message for me. Sometimes kids are better at this than adults, right? Kids have an imagination. They have a kind of playful spirit. Sometimes adults, maybe we can get a little too, rigid or kind of focused on our to-do list, but to kind of just sit with the passage, let the Lord speak, and let him speak to my heart.
Yeah, Father, ooh, you're touching on a big wound there. There's like the get her done mentality of prayer. And if we're being honest, we go to Mass and sometimes there's a get her done. I'm fulfilling my obligation. But even adoration, a lot of Eucharistic adoration chapels, they have hours that you sign up for, and it's good, right? It's like a commitment, like you sign up for that. But if we're being honest, we got to be honest, a lot of people are there and we wait just for our hour to finish. Can you speak to that a little bit? Like how do we don't want to be in that place, right? But like, how do we grow from there?
That's great. And I think it's good to say that out loud, right? And so I'll say it out loud. Yes, sometimes I get bored in my holy hour, and that's okay. Not very often am I levitating. Yes, there's sometimes when I feel like, my gosh, there was just a ton of grace in that time of prayer. Other times I walk out feeling, yes, peaceful, yes, glad that I spent some time with the Lord, but, you know, it's a kind of quiet grace. Again, I'm not doing backflips necessarily. And it's, again, important to let the Lord have some time, you know, for me to stop talking for a minute. Even in a sense, like set aside the spiritual reading for a few minutes. And that's hard for us, right? Because boom, I want the next thing. Got that done, move on to the next thing. Well, friendship doesn't work that way, right? Like sometimes you're just with a buddy, getting a coffee, getting a beer. You can just be quiet for a couple minutes, you know, like look out the window. Just appreciate that time. Think about time with your grandparents. Like they're maybe not talking at you the entire time, right? They love you. Just looking upon you is a joy for them. Well, the Lord's happy to just look upon me from the Eucharist with great love. I can adore him even quietly. Yes, perhaps thanking him, praising him. But again, to kind of like turn down the volume, turn down the internal monologue, and quiet is okay. It's hard for us, but we need it.
Father, it's so funny you say that because when you were trying to give the example of a friend, I immediately thought of my grandfather because I'm a bit of a sanguine, you know, like, you know, talking to people, always trying to think of the funny thing to say, you know, pray for me. I remember when I was a little kid and I was helping my grandfather repair something and we had to go to the hardware store. And I remember like him just being quiet and me thinking, should I say something? Should I like, this is awkward silence. Mm-hmm. And I just remember looking at him and feeling, I don't have to say anything. I can just be here, right? Mm-hmm. And that was like the first time I've, because like we're almost taught, right? You know, like constant stimulation. Mm-hmm. And what I find in prayer is that we bring that into our prayer, and we think like if we're not doing something, then it's not working. Then I don't feel anything mm-hmm. in prayer, or you know, like I'm, you know, nothing's happening. Where in fact, something is happening. It's funny that you mentioned also your grandparents. Sometimes when we think of our parents, we don't think of being silent, because they're usually saying like, clean up your room, you know, like, you know, when are you going to get married? You know, like all these other things that they sometimes say to us, depending on what stage in life we're in. To think about who are the people that I can just be with, I don't even have to say something to. Maybe it's different for somebody with a different personality, you know. If they're, you know, whatever, phlegmatic, you know, those are the medieval personality types, you know, there's others. But if somebody has a more introverted personality, you know, it's for them, it's restorative, right? To be more silent. But even still, like I find, I don't know what you find, Father, but like sometimes the introverts hide in the silence instead of converse or interact mm-hmm. or like relationship build. I mean, I don't know if that's, but sometimes when I talk to people, like you want to be, the introverts want to be alone so that they can kind of like restore themselves, because it takes a lot of energy to interact with people. But when we're in adoration, it is an interaction, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know what you think.
Amen. It's demanding, right? I'm not watching TV when I'm at adoration. I'm also not just sitting outside drinking a cup of coffee. Okay, both of those things have their place, right? But there is a sense, yeah, like adoration does demand something of me. It's hard, which is why people avoid it or want to get out of there early. Okay, because I am trying to be present to the Lord, honoring his real presence to me. You know, a little something I'll try to do is, okay, take a little nugget and then sit with it. So let's say one decade of the rosary, okay? Pray your decade. Perhaps it's, the Transfiguration, okay? Yes, pray it and then wait for a moment, okay? Just sit there, okay? Kind of call it to mind. Imagine, my gosh, Lord, what if you called me up to that mountain? Lord, what are some mountaintop experiences I've had with you? Closeness to you, seeing your glory. Bounce this off Mother Mary, right? Mother Mary, you see your son in glory. You recognize him. Mother Mary, also in my struggles, help me to realize I'm still a beloved son of God, even in my tough moments. Okay, then kind of like let them respond if they want, or just kind of sit with that truth and that quiet for a moment. Or let's say a gospel passage. Okay, you read a little gospel passage. You know, don't try to march through the whole of Luke's gospel in a holy hour. Like, don't do it, you know. Read a passage, maybe a chapter at most, and then sit there. You know, it's almost like, hey, Grandpa, let me tell you about my baseball game. And then you tell him, and then kind of like let him sit with it, you know. Maybe he wants to bless you. Maybe he wants to offer you some wisdom. Maybe he's just happy to be in your presence. So for those of us who are chatty, I think it can help to have a little nugget, chew on it, and then wait.
This is great. I mean, what comes to mind, Father, is that you mentioned like children might have an easier time entering into this, and then we get whatever complicated, whatever you want to call it. It's like sometimes I feel that that we lose our sense of wonder, mm-hmm. and you need a certain sense of wonder to enter into deeper prayer, right? Mm-hmm. I was recently giving a talk down in Miami, and it kind of just came out. So like I said, I'm, you know, a little chatty, extroverted, and I kind of always want to make people laugh. It's not a bad thing, you know, to make people laugh, but I realized something. It's like when somebody says something, like my mind is trained to kind of like, okay, is there something funny I can say here or not? Let me read the room. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me not say that. Or let me say that. Like, that's my thought process. Pray for me. But what I think it also does is that it doesn't allow me to just enter into the wonder of what was said. You know, just mm-hmm. like somebody says something, it could be profound, it could be just like, you know, just normal, but just to kind of like even rejoice in the normal. I don't know. I guess I'm getting philosophical here.
I guess right on, okay to right do. On.
Talk to me, Father. Right on. Help me.
Yeah, we're from these great religious orders. We got these holy founders, and then, you know, me and you are just trying to keep up best as we can.
Amen.
Yeah, I think of the Gospels. Jesus says, you must humble yourself and be like a little child to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus reaching out to bless the little children. What's he saying to us there? Yeah, sometimes you have to bow your head, even in a sense, like allow yourself to be a little playful with the Lord or let him do that with you, like to call you aside to a friendly conversation. Think of a nativity set, right? Nativity set. Okay, adults, we walk up to it. We perhaps say a prayer, look at this with honor. Okay, the kings, the sheep, Mother Mary. What do little kids do? They run in there and start playing with these little action figures, right? And there's something beautiful about that. Like, yeah, get in there. Don't just think about it. Like, talk to the shepherd, talk to Mary, let them talk to you. This is what the Lord wants.
And for those who are ready for more, I came across this song today, Father. It's a song I got the contact of the people there in Spain. And like, they're singing these songs, and it's like, it's, singing to the Lord, saying like, you know, I want to be pleasing to you. I want to conquer your heart, or like romance your heart. Mm. You know, I want to look at you and let you look at me. And I'm just like, whoa, okay. Yeah. Getting, mm-hmm. you know, those Spanish and mystics, you know, they're all into it, but there is also like a lover gazing upon the beloved. And we don't usually talk like that. I don't know if I think we should.
Yeah, you and I both live with a bunch of dudes, right? And they're good bros. And, you know, we talk about the faith and the church and sports, and that's all fine. And as you say, yeah, Therese of Lisieux, John of the Cross, St. Francis, even Ignatius in certain moments, you know, they open their hearts. They let the Lord open his heart to us. It's beautiful when it happens. And we got to let Mary help us get there.
Amen to that. I came across also just like a little meditation on praying with Mary. It was given in the context of kind of like a daily prayer, daily disposition. How can we take our holy hour and let it shed light on the rest of our day? How do we, because like sometimes you're just like running, and you show up and it's quiet, and let's be real, you fall asleep. just being real, Father, this is what happens. And then you kind of come out and like you feel a bit better, but like then you go to like the run. Like how can we take it more to our home?
Mm-hmm. Amen. I'll go back to that heart image. Again, fruitful for me, I think for many folks. Sometimes I'll start my holy hour, literally put my hand on my heart. Okay, Lord, I offer my heart to you. Lord, help me to notice my own heart. What's happening in my own heart? Sometimes just realizing that takes a moment, right? Gosh, Lord, I feel some peace. I also feel some stress. Maybe I came from a meeting that was a little tense. I got some big project coming up that I'm nervous about. You know, just kind of noticing, even letting him calm my heart for a moment, just right there. Then turning to his heart, Lord, I honor your sacred heart. Lord, wounded for us and glorified, pouring out life and love for us. You know, and for me, this this helps, right? Because when I leave that holy hour, my heart is still going to be in me, you know? If it wasn't beating, I'd be in big trouble, right?
Yeah.
But this kind of awareness.
It's not a bad place to go, though, if you're in Eucharistic adoration. I mean, but yeah. Hopefully your heart's still in you when you come
That's
out
right.
of prayer.
So I leave the holy hour. Okay, Lord, my heart is still here. Most likely my heart is more calm, more peaceful, more blessed. And then when I run into my next event, okay, another meeting, a conversation, to, you know, just for a moment, go back to that image. Okay, Lord, my heart, I still want to be united with your heart. Okay, I'm not officially in adoration right now, and yet I trust your spirit is still with me. Lord, those graces remain that you gave me during that time of prayer. Yes, for me, that heart image, I think, is a way to kind of extend the holy hour and keep those graces flowing.
What word of encouragement do you have for somebody who falls asleep in their holy hour?
Yeah, in Jesuit life, we call that the prayer of St. Joseph. you know, he had these visions and angels talked to him, so it might happen to me too. There is a little awareness too, kind of like, okay, Lord, maybe I'm exhausted. Like, I need to cut back on some things because I'm so dang tired. This is not sustainable. Or maybe I'm like, well, I'm a little bored, or maybe I'm dodging Jesus a bit and falling asleep is a little defense mechanism. So there's kind of some knowledge that can come out even of sleeping. Okay, once in a while, it's going to happen. You know, I'm sure the saints had this experience too. So again, I'd say, what can I learn even from falling asleep in prayer?
Okay, so entering into prayer, not making it like just a list of things to do when you enter into your Eucharistic prayer time, you know, even just to start with your hand on your heart, you know, entering into the heart of Jesus, pray with Mary, you know, use your imagination, enter into a scene of the gospel, read, you know, maybe a part of it, and then enter into it. What would you say, Father, to somebody who's hearing this and is like, oh, I could do that, you know, where do I sign up? What would you tell them?
Sure. You know, many parishes have holy hours these days, sometimes once a week, sometimes a whole day or more. Okay, other folks, maybe that's hard for you, you know, I have a chapel in my house. Okay, this is a huge grace of religious life. My Franciscan buddies have the same. For other folks, okay, well, how about a little holy hour of a kind in your own house? Have a little corner, maybe your bedroom, maybe your living room, have a holy image, maybe of the Sacred Heart, Mother Mary, a saint. You know, you can have a sacred space to pray with. Again, if an hour is too much, well, how about 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, see how that goes. Again, and you know, if you want to jot down a few of these things ahead of time, again, saints encourage us to do this, kind of like have an intention going into your prayer. Some are obvious. Gosh, it's Advent, so I'm going to pray about the coming of Christ. I'm going to look at the Sunday Gospel and sit with that. Again, have a couple things at hand, ready to go. Okay, I'm going to have my rosary on a little table, and if I want to use it, it's right there. I'll have my gospel book on a table, a journal, you know, some kind of tools handy. But again, really let the Lord run this time. If something's fruitful, stay with it. Your decade of the rosary on the Transfiguration. If you're getting grace, just stay there. You know, don't rush to the next thing. If there's fruit on that tree, like pick all the fruit you can from that tree before going on to the next one. You know, these are some things that have been helpful for me.
Excellent. Father Joe, you know, I commend you writing a couple books on spiritually accompanying people, in the, Ignatian method, 8 days and 10 days. You have, the books that walk with you for 8 and 10 days. Maybe that's also a good place to start. You know, hey, shameless plug, I don't care. It's all about Jesus. So like if somebody picks up one of your books, they can kind of just like follow it for 8 days and find that prayer space in their house and take some time for that. Is that something that they could do?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's rooted in the writings of St. Ignatius Loyola. So you're going to get, you know, the wisdom of a saint there. And I really try to center it in the Sacred Heart. So when we look at Jesus, yes, to look at his actions and to see what's going on in his heart as he's blessing those in need, as he's forgiving, as he's calling disciples, as he's calling me, how does my heart respond? And hey, it's your little book, your little retreat. You could do it over 9 days in a row. If you wanted to do it, I don't know, 9 Sundays, you know, spread it out a bit. That's fine too. Again, a little spiritual writing and reading can help us to grow in our own faith and devotion.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I got to say, you know, the Jesuits are really good at taking the writings of their founder and turning them into accessible, like, means for people. Us Franciscans, like, we don't do that. You know, we don't do that with Francis. Like, we should totally do that, you know? Like, you know, 10 days with St. Francis. I mean, like, hey, you know? No, commend your order and the beautiful, incredible spiritual, you know, patrimony that you have bequeathed to the world and to the church, and let's continue it. Let's get it, like we say.
Right on. Yeah, man, we got these very holy saints among the Jesuits, Franciscans, martyrs, mystics. You know, me and you, we're on the JV team, but we're just glad to be on the playing field, and we got friends in high places.
Hey, if I'm riding the bench, I don't care as long as we win, right? And we have the victory in
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Father Joe, thank you so very much. You know, if people want to check out Father Joe Laramie, he has a website, very easy to find. He's written a couple of periodicals. Reach out, and he is coming to a Eucharistic revival event near you. Father Joe, can you pray us out so that we can bless our listeners?
Amen. One last plug. My little organization, PopesPrayerUSA.net. You can find us on the internet, the social media stuff, and pray for the Pope, pray with the Pope, centered in the heart of Jesus. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of our hearts. Lord Jesus, thank you for your Sacred Heart. Lord Jesus, unite our hearts evermore with your heart. And Mother Mary, keep us ever close to your Son. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father Joe, thank you very much for being on the Revive Podcast.
Amen, brother. Thanks so much.
God bless.
This has been a production of OSV Podcasts. To learn more, visit osvpodcasts.com.